Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
I am Dori Shafrir.
We are not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk about serums.
And today we're actually going to talk about serums.
I can't wait.
We're bringing it back.
I'm so excited.
I am too.
OG Forever 35.
We're 6 months old. Uh-huh. Let's take it back to the old days.
Forever 35 used to be so much cooler. I remember when Forever 35 was cool.
Talked about serums. I was like, wow, we haven't talked about serums in a while.
Yeah.
Dori was like, we haven't. Should we chat about some products that we're liking? So we're going to do a product episode. Mm-hmm. But first, let's just kind of circle it back and see how we're doing.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm coming off a weekend of seeing my number one favorite band, Phish. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling very tired because I'm now old and I can't go to numerous Phish concerts in a row like I used to.
Well, getting home at 1 a.m. is like real.
It is real. It was hard work.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. it was easy work. But sure. it was a little bit like, wow, I'm not the sprightly 19-year-old I used to be. Mm. I should explain to the audience that Phish is my favorite band. Mm-hmm. I've seen about over 100 shows. Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing them since I was 16 years old, since 1995. I saw my first Phish show. I normally see a few Phish shows a year. There's something I posted about this on Instagram because I get teased a lot for loving Phish so deeply. Aww. It's not a very understood thing. And also, I think to like still be a huge fan of the thing I was a huge fan of in high school is always not. Like sometimes people grow out of their things and I have just grown into it more. But for me, it's like a very nurturing experience to get to go to these concerts. They're so energetic. Everybody's so happy to be there. It's very much like I get to kind of reconnect with who I was when I was like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. But also like now I'm a totally different person and that feels very freeing. And so it's just really, really fun. Aside from the fact that we were getting home at 1 a.m. and then of course my body wakes up at 7 a.m., so I was just like, what am I putting on like muscle relaxing cream? You know, like I was now like taking Advil preventatively.
Totally.
But it was great. That is a big part of my self-care is seeing like carving out time to like see this band that I love very deeply.
I really like that what you just said about kind of still liking something that you liked so long ago and seeing how your love for it has evolved.
Yeah.
Because you've changed and your relationship to the band has changed.
And they've changed.
And they've changed, but you've kind of changed and you've evolved together.
It's also kind of nice because it's a thing that's mine. Like it's not something I do with my husband, you know, and actually like he and I have very different tastes when it comes to music. And like it's a thing I go and do. I don't bring my kids.
Yep.
Even though there are people who make that choice. It's just my thing.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I love that.
So I had a really great time. Thank you to the band Phish. I'm sure they're all listeners of this podcast.
For sure.
And I just want to say thank you for being a part of my self-care. Great shows here in LA. That's all, Dori. What did you do while I was at Phish with your husband?
Friday night, I took myself to the movies.
What did you see?
I saw Eighth Grade.
Oh my God, I want to see that so badly.
I really liked it.
God damn it, I got to get on that.
But it is like painful to watch. I didn't so much identify exactly, I didn't like identify with the protagonist because I don't have the kind of social anxiety that she has.
Oh, okay,
in the movie.
Interesting. Okay.
And she, I think anyone can kind of identify with just general feelings of being an outsider and feeling left out and feeling like you don't get, like, you kind of missed the memo in some way. And then there's this other element of the movie that was also kind of hard to watch because she has this whole other identity online. And it made me just like scared to have a child because it's, yeah, it's like really, it seemed really hard.
It's so, social media is so weird. And only that it's something we didn't deal with growing up. Yeah. So I feel like I have no capacity to understand what it is. Although we do, now we deal with it as adults, and some of the emotional challenges I'm sure are the same.
Yeah, but like 13 and 14 year old brains aren't developed. Like growing up with that, I think has got to have such a weird impact on your self-esteem and
totally
everything. And just seeing that portrayed on screen in this really raw way was very overwhelming.
Wow. Okay.
So I recommend the movie.
Great. I can't wait to see it. Cringe and cry.
And then I also read a lot of Poldark.
I only know Poldark is like a sexy PBS TV show.
Yes. Well, it started as a series of books.
As all good things do.
All good things do. It takes place in the late 18th century in England. There's a lot of, you know, class conflict and a really brooding, troubled, but good-hearted and sexy hero.
You just hit all my horny spots, story.
I mean, okay, here, I was telling a friend that I had started reading these books and she was like, should I read them? And I was like, yes. And, but I was like, you know, they could use like 20% more sex.
Oh, it's not sexy enough?
It's not sexy enough. Like the sex is alluded to, but not described. I'm like, I want sex.
Details.
I want details. Like I felt like they like lead you to a place and then they really leave you hanging. And I'm just like, come on.
Right.
Hello.
Like in Twilight, she literally, there's like literally a fade to black moment where they bone. And you're like, I need, which is why fanfic is so great. Maybe there's Poldark fanfic.
Oh my God, there must be Poldark fanfic.
There has to be.
So I've torn through two books.
Wow. Just over this past week?
3 days.
Oh, that's such a good feeling. I love the devouring feeling.
Yes. And there seem to be six books in the series. At least there are six books available on the Los Angeles Public Library.
And now, have you watched any of the show?
I have not watched any of the show yet. I think I am going to start soon, but right now I'm just really enjoying the books. And, you know, there's the heroine is a woman who rises above her station. And, you know, it's just like all these sort of tropes that I love.
That are great.
That are great. And the writing's pretty good. So I'm very into it. And I can't wait to start watching the show. And they're not really violent.
Oh, that's nice.
Which was, I read all the Game of Thrones books, mm-hmm. and they are intense. I mean, and anyone who's watched the show knows that they're intense. The show is more intense than the books. But what I appreciate about Poldark is they're not as like wrenching and violent as Game of Thrones. And I'm just like, I'm not in the mood for that.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Also, there aren't as many characters to keep track of. Game of Thrones, like reading the books, you're like, who the fuck
right, you have a person? You could make a spreadsheet.
Literally.
I'm sure there is
one. And then you get to
one.
Book four and you're like, wait, I've never heard of any of these people. And then
are they still in Westeros?
Yeah. What's going and then on? At the end of the book, like in the afterword, George R. R. Martin is like, sorry, these were all people you've never heard of.
Really?
Literally. Anyway, so I read a lot of Poldark, and it's kind of scratching my cozy mysteries itch. But people, thank you also to everyone who has suggested so many great cozy mysteries.
Who knew it was such a genre? We're getting so many cozy mystery recommendations.
It's a genre. I mean, yeah. I knew it was a genre that and I've always liked mysteries, but I hadn't ever really gotten into like the cozy mystery genre. I did read the number one Ladies Detective Agency.
Oh, I haven't read that.
A few, like, years ago, which is delightful. But I hadn't fully embraced the genre, but now I have. And thank you, everyone who has suggested books. I have a long list now. And the final thing I did this weekend that I believe is relevant to our listenership is that I joined a gym.
Wow.
As discussed.
Way to commit to an intention set in a previous episode.
Thank you. You know, I, on Saturday, I was like, I would really like to just go to the gym. And I was like, I'm just going to join the gym. So I put on my workout clothes. I took Bo to daycare. And I went to a gym and joined it.
And then did you work out at the gym?
And then I worked out at the gym.
And did it feel like everything you wanted it to feel like?
Yes. And then I felt sore the next day.
Oh, wow. You did your own workout and you felt sore?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm pretty out of shape right now. So...
That's fine. Who cares? You went to the gym. That's
I went to the gym.
But you went to the gym because you wanted to and it felt good.
Exactly.
Not because you're out of obligation or whatever.
Correct. So that felt very good. And I'm excited to have this membership now and just, you know, get going.
Nice follow through.
Thanks, Kate.
What did you do at the gym?
I did a 10-minute warm-up on the treadmill with an incline. Mm-hmm. And then I did some free weights and then, I did another kind of weight thing and then I did foam rolling and some stretching.
Dory, way to go.
Thank you, Kate.
That sounds great.
Thanks.
You are welcome. I mean, no thanks necessary. You did it all yourself. That's awesome. And yeah. I'm psyched that you did it and that it felt great.
It felt good. It felt right.
Also, it gets you out of your house. You can do it totally. Alone.
Also, my gym has a pool.
Oh.
So, and you know, I was a competitive swimmer.
I know.
And so I do enjoy doing laps. So I'm excited to get back into that also. It's a lap pool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted on how that goes.
I shall. Don't you worry.
All right, Dory, let's take a little break.
That sounds good.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups, still without the underwire, to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin. Is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
So, Kate.
Yes, ma'am.
We wanted to talk about products today.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I brought my collection out onto the table.
Amazing.
Should I just go first?
I think you should.
Okay, well, I've already excitedly told you about how much I love this first item.
Mm-hmm.
But the listeners have not heard it. Okay, so let me preface this by saying, I mumble.
You're fine.
Okay, let me preface this by saying that this was sent to me for free.
Yep.
By a company.
Sure was.
That's not a brag. I'm just, I want to be transparent in how I acquired it.
Look, I get it.
And this company that sent it to me is Julep. And they sent us a bunch of products, which I have been sampling. And I have to say, I like everything I've tried.
Yeah.
And it's been very fun. But the product that is like, I'm obsessed with, yes. And I don't normally get crazy obsessed with things. I'm kind of a cynical grump about products.
Mm-hmm.
They sent a konjac sponge.
Okay.
Okay. Which is a gentle exfoliator made from all natural konjac root and enriched with detoxifying bamboo charcoal powder. I'm quoting their website. So you basically would use it with your face wash or on its own. You can use it on its own. So when you get it, it's kind of like hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it in some water and it softens.
Ooh.
And I have been putting my soap on my face and then scrubbing with this sponge.
Love it.
And I'm freaking obsessed with this thing.
Okay.
I feel like my face is brighter.
Are you using it every day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I could, I would use it like 50 times a day, and I would also use it on my body. I love how it feels.
Ooh.
I love the sensation of washing my face with it.
Are you worried about over exfoliating?
I am not.
Okay.
And I'm not because I'm so in love with this thing that if that's even a thing that could happen, I'm in denial about it.
All right.
I love this freaking sponge.
Okay. How much does it cost?
It's $12.
Okay. How long can you use it for?
I think about 1 to 2 months. They had that info on the site and I've spaced on it.
All right.
But I'm 100% ordering more of these sponges.
Great.
And I'm going to do it before anybody else gets, like, I need to get a bunch.
Oh, you're going to snake everyone.
Like, I would hoard this. This is one of those, this is like hoarding level products.
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday next
Just
year.
A big one of these for me to sleep on. No, it's really, I used to have a Clarisonic, one of those brushes.
Yeah,
and
I had one.
That felt like too much for me.
Yeah.
But this feels like a nice step above a washcloth. And that's why I'm loving it.
Okay.
And also, like, I've been using, like I mentioned, some of their other products. Their serum sticks are really cool. And this restorative face milk as like an added moisture boost has been really lovely. That's $38.
What else are you into?
Okay. So, listeners from Australia, numerous listeners reached out to us.
Yes, this is true. This happened.
And they said, you need to get the product line GoTo. It's an Australian line and it's coming to Sephora. And sure enough, this Australian line GoTo just made it to Sephora in America. And I reached out to the company and I said, like, hey, I have a podcast about skin.
And they believed you.
They were like, all right. and they sent us a couple products to try. And one of the ones they sent is this Face Hero Face Oil. And I also love it. I've been using it at night as my moisturizer. I can read to you the description. So you can now get this at Sephora. It just got here to the States and it's $34. And I believe Sephora is also doing this kind of clean initiative. And GoTo is one of the lines in their like clean line of products. And I can read to you about it. It says it's a lightweight face oil that deeply hydrates, soothes, revitalizes, and completely protects the skin. And it's got, you know, botanical oils, fatty acids, vitamins.
Okay.
All I know is that it smells good. It feels good going on. And my face is absorbing it so that I don't have like grease face in the morning. And so I have to say, like, for my first go-to product, it's been really great.
It's become a
all you Australians.
Go-to.
It's big, Tori. You got that pun.
I mean,
Australians know what's up. So thank you to our Australian listeners who recommended this line. I had never heard of it. It's apparently very popular, and also the woman who founded it is like an author and a columnist. She's a fascinating person.
Cool.
Yeah. So
she's gonna run the podcast.
Okay.
Is there anything else you wanted to
discuss? A couple
more
things.
Okay. Great.
Okay. 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 So, Dory.
Yes.
I've gotten into my Jade Roller.
Oh,
finally.
Great. Are you keeping it in the freezer?
Yes.
And you're remembering to use it?
Yes. And so this weekend after these fish shows, when I was waking up tired and like I had been dancing all night, I was a little dehydrated, I would like wash my face and put everything on, and then I would just Jade Roll the crap out of my face under my eyes that felt a little puffy, and it felt wonderful.
Oh, good.
But
okay.
My one beef with the Jade Roller is that it loses its cool. So I have purchased myself a face ice roller on Amazon.
What?
Which, again, Courtney Chisano has used on my face at a facial. This is our facialist, Courtney, who's been on the podcast. She tipped me off to these things. They're $11.99 on Amazon, and they feel amazing. And they're bigger. They're wider than the Jade Roller. So I think you can kind of cover more ground. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they stay a little cooler longer.
Okay.
So that's one more thing. And then finally, Dory.
Yes.
Skin products. I realize I've veered a little bit from serums, but
that's okay.
You know, everybody's going to be okay with that. This is a second purchase for me. The Belief True Cream Aqua Bomb.
Now, you had talked about this when we were talking about the Sephora Beauty Insider sale that you were going to buy it.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I blasted through it and I've bought a second one.
Wow. Okay.
I want to say, for me, for what I need in a morning day cream.
Can I see?
Of course. This is kind of the perfect morning day cream. It's very light. I love the texture. I love the smell. I love how it feels.
Do you mind if I...
No, dig in.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm. Like what's on my neck. Yeah, get in there. Mm-hmm. So I sped through it. I feel like I need an industrial size bucket of it because I used up the one I got very fast. So I don't think there's a ton in the container, which is like kind of my beef with this product. I wish there was more, but it's $38 on Amazon. So it's not on Amazon, excuse me, on Sephora.
Okay.
It's not cheap. But for something I'm using every day on my skin, it really feels great. Mm-hmm. And then I put my sunscreen on over it. And I've just loved how my skin has felt. It's felt moisturized, but not too much.
Yeah. I also use a gel cream in the morning. I use the Dr. Jart.
And you like it?
I love it. Yeah.
So Dory, those are my like current faves in terms of what is going on my skin and my face.
Well, it's working.
You know what, though? I have to say, especially the sponge, I feel like my face just looks a little better.
It looks smooth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the sponge is kind of getting, I have this big like crop of zits that doesn't ever go away on my chin. I think the sponge is helping.
Wow. It's a magic sponge.
This sponge, truly, if I could like use it for other things, I would.
Wow.
I don't know what I mean by that. Sure. But if I could hold
maybe
it.
Maybe they make a body size one.
I would scrub my body with this fucking sponge. I love it so much.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to calm down and open the floor to you.
Why, thank you, Kate.
Tell me what you're loving.
So I was at an event recently and got my hair done. And the stylist used something called Color Wow Root Cover Up. Ooh. And she just kind of painted a little bit on my part and kind of along my hairline where some of my hair is thinning. And I was like, oh my God, I look like I have such thicker hair. Now, it also can be used to cover grays.
I like that.
It's product description says that it covers gray roots instantly and seamlessly. It even covers dark roots without peroxide. It fills in gaps, makes hair appear thicker, and perfects hairline and stays until shampooed out. Now, I did not shampoo my hair this morning.
And your hair looks great. I noticed it right
away.
Thank
you. And I think part of it is this Color Wow Root Cover Up. Now, the only other root cover up I'd ever used was, again, like I had my hair and makeup done, and someone used like a spray. Mm-hmm. And I didn't love that. I felt like, I don't know, it seemed to me like you could sort of tell. What I like about this Color Wow Root Cover Up is that it's a little compact that comes with a brush. It's like eyebrow filler.
Is it wet or is it dry?
It's like...
is it a powder?
Kind of. I took a picture of it. It's kind of like a powder, yes. And you kind of just like paint it on.
And so it's something you would do every time you do your hair. Like it's not a, oh, weird. Oh, it looks like a blush.
Yeah, it's sort of like an eyeshadow or something. And what I like about the brush is that you really have more control. So you can really target the areas that you want to target. I am obsessed with it. I am buying it immediately. It's $34.50 on Amazon. You can also get it at like Ulta and a bunch of other places. But I'm a big fan. It's won various awards, like the Best of Beauty in Allure. It won the Latina Beauty Awards, and it won the Good Housekeeping Beauty Hair Award for Color in 2014.
Wow.
So.
Impressive resume.
Right?
That's cool. I would like that because I was noticing, I'll have like some little gray spots. I don't want to go get my hair colored.
Exactly.
I just want
a little touch up. And I like
it. Or just leave the gray.
Yeah. I like that you can just kind of do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. I was like, oh my gosh. Like it really makes.
And it matched your color.
And it matched my color. I am a big fan.
Okay.
So speaking of eyebrows, it's basically an eyebrow, like it's almost like an eyebrow pencil for your hair.
For your head.
But speaking of eyebrows, we talked about my foray into eyebrow pencils.
Yes, you chronicled it on our Instagram.
I chronicled it on our Instagram. And the first time I talked about it on the podcast, I was talking about the kind of the chubbier NYX eyebrow pencil.
Right, and I made a bad joke
you
about
made
it
a bad joke.
Being chubby.
And then...
making it sexual.
I also used their NYX eyebrow powder pencil. Which is more of like a traditional pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's thinner. And then on the opposite end, it has a little brush. It costs $6.49. You can get it at Target, at drugstores. It's a drugstore pencil. And I really like this pencil.
It looks dope on you.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like it's the perfect color for me. It's not too dark, but it like fills things in. You have nice control. It looks smooth. I'm a very big fan of this brush. I really like it. Now, when I posted this on our Instagram, a few people messaged me because I had said that someone told me this was a dupe for the Anastasia Beverly Hills eyebrow pencil. And then a few people emailed me and said, actually, the dupe for that is NYX's Micro Brow Pencil. When I was in Vancouver, I went to the Knicks store.
Ooh.
Now, there's also one in Century City.
I know. I've wanted to go.
That I haven't gone to, but I went to the Knicks store in Vancouver, and they had multitudinous eyebrow pencils, including the microbrow. And I tried the microbrow, and I actually think the microbrow is a little too skinny for me. So I personally am a big fan of the eyebrow powder pencil, and just for me, the microbrow is not the one. So
I've never met a NYX product that I didn't like.
Their products are great.
Their products are great.
Yeah.
And the price point is...
The price is right.
So right every time.
Yeah.
Their lip colors are my faves.
Yeah. They got great stuff.
Yeah. I love their stuff.
So the last thing that I wanted to talk about is the perfume I've been wearing lately.
Which I also have and love.
So this is by a company called Kai. They are based in Malibu, and they have this Eau de Parfum Rose, which I guess just came out last year. It's their second signature scent. And it is described as a light, intoxicating blend of white gardenia wrapped in exotic florals and layered with rose absolute. Key ingredients are denatured alcohol, fragrance, water, cedar oil, bergamot oil, geranium oil, clove oil, and rose oil. You know, we were talking about summer signature scents. I feel like this is a perfect summer signature scent. If you're into florals, if you're not into florals, I would say skip it. Mm-hmm. But I like a floral. It smells a little jasmine-y to me too. And you know, I love a jasmine.
I know you do.
But it's light. You know, I still really like the Gucci perfume that I've mentioned
Bloom.
Before. Yes, Gucci Bloom. But what I like about Kai is it's a little lighter. It's a little more subtle. It is $76, but I have to say, we arranged to have a giveaway.
Yeah.
With Kai that will include their rose perfume oil, and it is going to be in the August newsletter. So if you are not signed up for the August newsletter, you are going to want to get in on that. Just go to our website, forever35podcast.com, click on mailing list, and sign up so you can be eligible to win some. It's not just going to be the rose perfume oil. They are putting together a whole assortment of their lovely products for us.
I like that rose scent a lot. And I had randomly been trying to find a rose scent that I liked. Mm. And I got a bunch of samples. As you know, I'm a sample hound. Mm-hmm. And I got a bunch of samples and none of them were clicking for me. Mm. And the Kai rose perfume is my favorite rose perfume that I found because it's really light.
Yes, exactly.
Because sometimes rose is like so overpowering. Yes. It kind of gives me a headache.
Yes.
This one is really nice.
Yeah, I really like it. So
that's a very exciting giveaway for the pod. I'm excited about that one.
It's very exciting. I would like to win it, but I don't think I'm eligible.
I have a feeling you're not.
No.
Our guest today is Samantha Irby. And Samantha, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I mean, the excitement is mutual. I'm so excited. We're very pumped.
I put on blush in the car.
Yes.
And it's for you.
Wow. Your makeup does look very good.
Thank you. I don't have anything on my face other than
really
liquid blush and Burt's Bees.
You have great skin.
Yeah.
I mean, is this the time to talk about what I've been using well, on my face?
First, let me just read your bio so we can let listeners know who you are. And then, yes, it is the time. The time is now. Here's your bio. Samantha Irby is the writer of the blog Bitches Gotta Eat and the author of three books, including the New York Times bestseller We Are Never Meeting in Real Life. Her book Meaty is in development for TV. And she's currently a writer on Lindy West's upcoming TV show at Hulu starring Adi Bryant.
It's pretty exciting.
I mean, those are people I'm a fan of.
It's going to be... Okay, so we haven't shot it yet, but it's going to be so good.
I cannot
wait. And
it's really
based on Lindy's amazing book, Shrill.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be so good. And like, TV is terrifying to me. And the thought of like making a thing that... it's one thing to make a thing that people are going to read because... I mean, no one really reads books. So it's like, who's going to read this?
No one will see it or read it.
A couple hundred people, but like TV, yeah, people yeah. like see it and analyze it.
Yeah.
And there are awards for it. Yeah. And if you get an award or don't get an award, that's a big thing.
And you have to get dressed up.
You have to get dressed up.
Can I tell you that I was fooled on your Instagram when you had a photo of Oprah holding your book? Oh. I was like, wow, she's done it. She's the next Oprah Book Club book. And I was like, this is freaking amazing. I think I even like told you. And then I realized, I was like, oh, nope. But it should be true.
It should be true. So let me tell you about that, because I'm a pure idiot if people don't know. So when you re-release a book that you already put out, they don't give you as much money, like to like as much marketing, and people aren't going to review it, right? Because it's old. They're not, it's not going to be in magazines. It's not going to like be, they're not going to take out ads. So I was like, what can I do for free that is like my brand of dumb, but will also sell books to people? So I said to my friend Walt, I was like, listen, man, don't you have an app on your phone that's like Photoshop and you can like put my book into some people's hands? And he was like, yes. And so the first one we did was Drake. First of all, let me tell you, like finding celebrities reading books.
Tough.
This is maybe the hardest thing I've ever done. It was harder to find pictures to Photoshop than it was to write the book. My Instagram inbox blew up and I just started laughing. I was like, everyone's stupid. Everyone's stupid. Me too. Everyone is dumb. I can't believe people believe that like Oprah would read like my diarrhea dick book.
100% think that it could still be a possibility.
I love that you do. Because I was like, people have to know that this isn't real.
Oh no, I was like, I was truly like, wow. And then it was also like justice, like a great book is in the hands of Oprah. I don't know. I had a real moment there.
Maybe the next one, I'm really going to lobby. I don't know what we have to do to like get her to read it, but I'm going to try. But like that, I think, I don't know what stroke of like dumb luck hit me to like think of that.
It's so good.
But I'm sure more than half the books I sold are because of those.
Oh, seriously?
Instagrams.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm sure of it.
That's great.
I mean, I don't know how else people found out about it, because like I didn't do any interview because people didn't care. It was a book that was already out. They're like, listen, we just fucking interviewed you 6 months ago about your other book. You don't get two. I'm like,
get out.
Okay. They're like, come back in 4 years, like normal people. So then I had to do my own thing. And like the publisher, I think they were happy with it. I was like, listen, guys, I'm just going to do this dumb thing. And if you like it, cool. And if not, they did send me on tour.
Okay. Yeah. All
right. I did do a tour, which was like great and also harrowing, because I was basically on the road for 2 months and like, I'm not a good traveler. I don't know if you've read anything I've ever written. Yeah, I think you know that I'm like a cantankerous piece of garbage. So like when they were like, yeah, you're going to be on the road, I was like, oh, okay. And like, it's a very nice thing for people to pay money to send you across the country. But because I'm a piece of shit, I was like, how am I going to travel with like 4 weeks worth of underwear?
How did you do it?
Disposable underwear.
Wait a second. I had never heard of that.
First of all, okay, so I don't know how deep you want to get, but we're going to go deep. I tried to get a hysterectomy.
Okay.
But at 38, did you know that you're too young to have a hysterectomy? That's what the doctor told me.
What?
Even though I was like, dude, if I came in here and told you that I was pregnant, you would like euthanize me, let alone like tell me to have it. You would not let me have a kid in my current condition. But like, if you ask for a hysterectomy at 38, they're like, no.
Was it for health reasons that you wanted to get it?
Yeah. So I was having like insane periods, like the kind where like you sit on the toilet and it sounds like you're peeing, but it's just blood running out.
Yeah, I know.
And it was happening all over because I had done a little tour with the last book. And I was like, I cannot embark on this 2 month journey with, I mean, it was like carrying a loaded gun and I would have no idea when it was going to go off. I was in Texas for the Texas Book Festival in November and woke up in my hotel room and it looked like The Shining.
Oh my God.
And like, the scariest thing for me, of course, because I'm so anxious, I was like, I don't care what my body is doing. How do I hide this from housekeeping? No one ever tells you what to do when you fuck up a hotel bed, but what? I know, so I'll tell you.
Yeah, what do you do? Can you just leave it?
Not if you are a
polite
person. So it was, I had to be there 2 more nights. So I was like, I can't go to the desk and be like, listen, guys, there's been an accident. Give me a new room. So what I did, I called a friend who's like a good person who knows this kind of thing. And she was like, strip the bed. Mm-hmm. So you strip the bed, you roll up the sheets, like so that they can't see what's in them. You roll them up really tight. You put them on the floor. And then that signals to them not to unfurl them.
Oh.
Just to throw them directly into the laundry Good. Bag. And then you leave as much cash as you possibly can on the bed because they had to deal with your sheets. So that happened. And I was like, let me get a hysterectomy, doc. And he was like, no. And then I was like, well, what can we do? So then I had a hysteroscopy, which is where they fill your uterus with water and like look at it to make sure everything's okay and then pour it out. Then I got a D&C, which is where they scrape everything. And then I got an ablation, which is where they burn the entire inside of your uterus.
I love that they'll do all this stuff, but they won't give you a hysterectomy.
I know.
Did any of this, this all sounds incredibly, really, like a lot to go through. Those are big procedures.
They put me totally out, which was great.
Yeah, it feels good.
I don't mind surgery. I'm like, oh, I just go to sleep. and you do all this stuff. I wish I could have sex like that. Although that's a terrible thing to say, but if I can go through my life asleep, just it would be... wake me up at the end. Oh God.
At the end. Say one last goodbye and then go back to sleep.
They woke me up, handed me a Coke and some fentanyl. They put fentanyl in my IV. And I was like, this is like a dream come true. An ice cold Coke after a long nap and then a massive dose of painkillers. It was amazing. So after that, because you leak like charred uterine pieces, they give you disposable underwear.
Oh.
And I was like, this is a thing?
Oh, I wonder, is it mesh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if it's similar to what you get after you have a baby.
Yeah, probably. It's the same. It's the same. I love
that stuff.
So then I got on Amazon and bought 2 packs, and that's what I took on the road.
That's really smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, when did this all happen? Recently?
This was, I was on tour April and May. Yeah.
And have your periods, did it resolve? Gone.
I've not had a period since.
Not one?
Not one.
Holy moly.
I didn't even have a lot of cramping, which they said could happen.
Wow.
It just stopped. I do still get PMS.
Huh.
Which is weird. Like, I was in a crazy, horrible mood, and I was like, what is my problem? And then my wife was like, PMS. And I was like, oh, right. I still have ovaries and hormones.
Right.
But you don't get the release of like the period. So then I just waited for it to go away. But I'll take it.
Yeah, that sounds
no
much better.
No more period. It's like unbelievable.
How did this Lindy TV situation happen?
Well, so Lindy and I have been internet friends the way sort of we all are kind of internet friends, right? Like for a long time. Like everybody I know, like knows everybody. Right. Like, all internet people know each other. Or it's like a 2 degrees of separation kind of thing. So Lindy and I, when Lindy was writing Shrill, she was writing Shrill at the same time I was writing We're Never Meeting, and we were in a Facebook, like, motivating writers group.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh.
Which was really, like, a complaining group, which is really what all of my interactions just devolve into complaints. You know, people could be like, good morning. And I'm like, well, is it? So she was working on her book and, like, I was complaining all the time and not writing my book. So we just became like kind of better internet friends then. And we like sort of kept up with each other, you know, we texted and talked and called. And then she has the same agent. She has the same TV or book to TV agent that I do. So when I started developing my show before she did hers, and we would talk about it, and like, I would complain about it to her and be like, don't do this. It's so dumb. Except if you can do this, you should.
Because
you'll get to make a thing and get to make a lot of money. And like, people will be able to, like, a wider audience will see your thing. So I talked to her like during my whole process. And then she started developing Shrill. And she was like, and we sort of had a pact. I was like, if my show gets picked up, you got to come work on it. And she said the same thing, that if her show got picked up, I would have to come write for it. And so we were in LA in January at the same time. I was just here for a vacation and she was pitching her show.
Oh, wow.
And like after her meetings, like we would debrief every night and she would like tell me how everything went. And then when she got the offer and when it got picked up, she was like, so you said you would come work on it, will you? And I was like, yeah, like if y'all have me, like, yeah, absolutely. And so it like everything happened super fast. I think they pitched in January and got picked up in May.
Wow.
And then I had to be here like June 11th. Like everything was lightning quick. And then I like she called me. I had a like phone interview with the showrunner, which I don't even remember what I said. I certainly don't think I said anything good enough to like get me a job. We mostly talked about the Bravo Housewives.
That maybe that was enough.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I ever had to hire anyone for anything, I would be like, what do you watch on TV?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, do you want to see my resume? And I'd be like, No.
Show me your DVR.
Can I ask you a question about we get a lot of people, write like aspiring writers, people who want career in writing. And then just also, I think people trying to figure out like what the hell they're doing with their lives and their career. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about your experience starting as a writer blogging and how that's kind of manifested through all the work you've done into now TV writing? I mean, yes. Not that you need to take us, were you ever there blogging, thinking that this would be your eventual landing place?
No. So I started my blog. This is a story I feel like I've told a lot, so I won't tell the whole thing. I started my blog because I wanted to have sex with this dude who said that he was into writers. And at the time, like I had written stories in high school and stuff. And at the time I had like a manuscript like for a YA novel.
That's right.
And I didn't want to like give him like 100 out of context pages. So I was just like, what is a way that I can trick this dude into thinking that I'm a writer so that he'll have sex with me? So I started this blog and like I had sex with the dude and like that wrapped up. And I was like, okay, I'm done. And then my friends were like, no, dude, you got to keep doing it. So I just was like writing a blog for fun. And this was like in 2008 when it wasn't a thing to have a blog that turned into anything else. So I was just doing it for fun. I had a job. I had no desire to like do anything because I'm lazy and I don't like anything that's hard and I don't want to suffer. So I had like a terrible childhood. So the glamour of like being a struggling artist.
Yeah, didn't appeal.
No, I want diptyque candles and like dumb things that I couldn't have when I was young. I want a nice cell phone. And I'm like, I don't want to like sleep in my car to sell books. If I have to sleep in my car, you know, because like that's the way the cookie crumbled, fine. But like, I would like to buy bottled water. So that's like fancy to me. I'm like, I want Voss water.
Oh, man.
In my house.
I drank a very nice bottle.
One of those for the first time ever. And it felt, I felt like a better person.
Yes.
I mean, it's all bad. It's plastic. It's all ruining the earth.
But yeah.
The like sturdiness of that bottle.
Yeah. I was like, that's what I want. So I just was like blogging, making my friends laugh, using it to like date people.
And you were still working at the vet at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was still working at the vet. It was great. Chicago has what we call the live lit scene, which is basically like all different kinds of storytelling. And so I started doing that, like just to do it, because I had these funny things and people were like, listen, read those in front of an audience. And so I just started doing that. And through that, I met these guys who ran a small press and they were like, let's do a book. And I was like, no. No, it's so much work. I don't want to do that. And they were like, we'll make it as easy as possible, which is my middle name. It's a long one, but Samantha, as easy as possible, Irby. It barely fits on my birth certificate. But they were like, we won't, you don't, we'll publish whatever you right. Jeez. And like, you're a moron to turn down that. No one has ever given me that offer ever again.
No.
So I was like, okay. And so I put it together in like 2 months. And I was like, this isn't going to be a real book. Like, this isn't, I don't believe this. And it was like, it was a real book with an ISBN number. And I was like, okay, great. And then I thought, I'm never going to write anything again. Like, this is fine. I have a job. I have my candle money. I have a cell phone. Like, it's all good. People sometimes want to date me because of this. Great. And then my, I don't even know how my, the guy who ended up being my agent, I don't know how he found that book, but he emailed me and was like, hey, I read your book. I loved it. Do you have representation? And I was like, no, are you kidding? No, I don't want to do this. And he was like, well, you need an agent. And I was like, okay, maybe I need an agent. So I just was like, well, you can be my agent. And that was it. And like 2 months later, he emailed me again and he was like, hey, did you ever give any thought to like having me represent you? And I was like, I told you 2 months ago that you could be my agent.
I've never heard anyone have a story like this.
It's so stupid. Like, I don't deserve any of this success because I didn't really do, I mean, I did stuff, but I didn't. Whenever people are like, help me do what you did. And I'm like, all right, it's a terrible story. So anyway, he was like, you have to sign a contract. And so we did that. And then he was like, okay, let's talk about putting another collection together. And then I was like, honestly, I had not thought about that. And he's like, I don't just represent you for like your tweets. You have to like put a book together. And so I did. I put together an outline and I wrote 4 essays. Like, I wrote, well, I'm not going to list them because people will be like, we've never heard of you. We don't know what you're talking about. But I wrote like one about like a sex one, a feelings one, a like life one, just so they could see like what I wanted to do. And then we pitched it and we got some offers. And then we put a book out. So then the TV thing, when you have a book, it's sort of easy. It's like a lateral move,
yeah,
right? Because you just like find, especially if your book has sold, you know, more than 3 copies, you can
right.
like slide into Hollywood and be like, look at this thing that I made. Let's try to do something with it. And my literary agent found my TV agent. And like, you know, I just was like, okay, let's make it a show. No, I didn't say that at all. I was like, I don't know, man. I Hollywood is terrifying to me. And then Abby Jacobson, this is a long, weird story too, but Abby got a copy of my book from Janine Garofalo.
No big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And then Abby found me. It took her like a year and a half to convince me that she was a real person, because I don't ever check my email and I'm really bad at, like, she messaged me and was like, hey, I read your book. I love it. If you're ever in New York, I would love to like take you to coffee and talk about an idea. And I was like, why don't fucking go to New York? Guess I'll see you in New York. And that was like, of course, 6 months after she emailed. Like, I thought it was just like a fan. I was like, oh, girl, what? I'm going to go to New York and meet with some stranger. So then she emailed me back and was like, okay, my name is Abby. I have a television show. I would like to talk to you about an idea. And that, but then again, she was like, if you're ever in New York, let's have coffee. And I hope I don't alienate anyone, but I hate New York.
It's all right.
I hate it. It's just not for me.
I mean,
listen, that's fine.
Yeah.
It truly is okay. God, it's not for me.
I mean, we both left.
We did. We live here now.
For you. Oh, God. New York is so disgusting. And so I was like, yeah, okay. I guess if I'm in New York, you can buy me a green juice or whatever. And then finally, she was like, I'm coming to Chicago. And I was like, well, now here we go.
Wow.
And so she came to Chicago and we went to breakfast and she was like, do you want to make this a show? And I said, not if I have to be in it. I don't ever want to be in anything. Sure. And she said, no, no. She's like, no, look at you. We'd get an actress. No, she didn't say that. But she was like, you didn't even shower for this meeting. You think I want to put you on fucking TV? And then we started like developing and we pitched it. And that process is like grueling and weird. And the quickest way to kill any bit of self-esteem that you have, especially when you're pitching something about yourself and people are like, cute, but no thanks. Yeah. And
how did no you thanks. Like, since we talk so much about self-care on here, like, how have you maintained, I mean, Diptyque candles,
mm-hmm.
bought, like, it sounds like you enjoy
I do
things that make you feel good.
Yes. I buy a lot of garbage, but it's all garbage that I need, of course.
Yeah.
My self-care, I am not good at any of the physical things you should do for yourself. I never drink water. I was just complaining because I had to pee because my wife made me drink a bunch of water before we got here. And I was like, this is why I don't drink water. Because then you got to run around looking for a bathroom all the time. You can't even say hello to people when you walk in their house. You have to be like, where's your bathroom? You know, I don't want to be that person. So I'm bad at all the like vitamins and fruit part of taking care of yourself. But I'm very good at the like lactic acid cream that yeah. you put on mm-hmm. your face. So I buy a lot of books, which makes me feel good. Like I do buy a ton of books, but I also buy a lot of blushes are my main jam. I love a blush. I'm at this point in my life where if I put lipstick on, I feel like it makes me look older.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I know what you mean. I've been getting that too.
Yeah. It's like any lipstick and I'm like, oh, yeah. I look like a haggard beast. So
beautiful lips. I mean, that lip color is.
Well, thank you.
Pink lips.
It's Burt's Bees tinted lip balm.
I put that shit on today, man. Yeah, that
Kate,
is
you love that stuff.
Good.
It's so good. Nice. It's like the perfect bit of color,
yeah.
but like cream blushes, powder blush. I buy
what's
all.
Your favorite? What's your blush of choice?
And you
these
said
days?
You're in a cream blush right now.
I've never used a cream blush. So now Glossier's Cloud Paints,
mm-hmm. I use it too.
Are very good, even though the ads make me feel 72 years old.
Just like completely. The beautiful, like, bored 17-year-old women.
72, ugly. Yes. Like, just, I, like, it's, yeah. It's bad.
That's how it makes you feel.
Like, that's how it makes me feel.
I'm like, oh, my God, look at my grandchildren selling me eyebrow pomade. But I buy it anyway because I can be a hip grandma. They just came out with, so I'm really into orange blush, and like, people don't talk about it, but orange is the best like sunny blush color. So they have, I think the like light orange is called like dusk. It's like a light,
I think you're right, coral. That sounds familiar. I've stared at them all.
They have a new one called haze, which is like shocking neon orange, but just a little dab, and it's like a glowy sun-kissed thing. I am obsessed with it. Obsessed. Even though the ads.
Right.
I can't look at the ads.
We need like a separate ad campaign for old.
Just like for old. Yeah. Glossy old.
Yeah.
Glossy old.
Oh my God. I mean, who do we call? Who do we tweet at? What's her name?
Emily Weiss.
Emily Weiss.
Emily, if you're listening to this, we will be in the glossy old.
Glossy old. I mean, you do get like, when you buy Glossier, you get stickers.
Yeah.
And like, it's very charming, but also I'm like, I'm almost 40. I'm going to put this rainbow sticker on my phone, and I look very clearly like a 40-year-old woman with stickers on my phone. Like, okay. It just is a weird... Makes you feel.
It does make you feel. And I can't use like their skincare stuff because I need more power than those things provide.
Yes, I've had this exact conversation.
Yeah.
Like I use their cloud paint and their eyebrow stuff. Yeah, but like the serums did not work for me.
You need extra strength.
Real serum. I use Sunday Riley's Good Jeans.
Yeah. Yes.
That is my
favorite
holy
here.
Grail. You know what moisturizer I love? First Aid Beauty Ultra Repair Cream.
Oh, someone else. This popped up somewhere. It is for face.
Yes.
And you love it.
It's the best. Mm. LA's air and water is disgusting.
Yeah.
And makes you feel like a cactus. And the only thing I can do to combat it is like slather myself in Ultra Repair Cream.
Well, and you don't drink water, so you just gotta...
Right. I don't drink water, and my blood type is pizza, but my skin...
My skin looks so hydrated right
beautiful.
Now.
Beautiful, yeah.
Dewy.
Because I put a lot of shit on my face.
And what is the self-care act in the like collecting, or is it in the like using it and feeling outwardly good as well as inwardly good?
Definitely the collecting. I love to look at my purchases. Do you guys do that?
Yeah.
I like to like have my things like on the sink or on the dresser, and I just like to lovingly caress them and like look at them all next to each other. Like that makes me feel good. And I always feel like every purchase is like a step in the direction of loving myself. That, I mean, I don't really want to take all the steps, but like, I just want to like put the stuff on my face and like, you know, put like moisturize my hands and be like, okay, I care about you. Not enough to like take a multivitamin or buy bananas. But
it's like whatever it feels good for you.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, like, who are we doing this for?
Yeah.
Right.
It's even though we exist in a world in which we're all conditioned to try to strive for something, like, we're doing it for ourselves, hopefully and ideally.
The one thing about having a wife, and no shade to anyone who has a husband or boyfriend, but like having another woman in the house, like she is sort of paying attention to what I'm doing, because like she'll steal my products too. And like sometimes I'm like, I'm going to get this. So then she'll see this fancy thing that I got myself and feel jealous because like, you know, she just uses like almond oil or rosehip oil from the hippie store. And I'm like, look at my beautiful bottles. I mean, I'm sure there are men who are like, look at that vitamin C serum you just got. Can I try some? But with her, I'm just like, is she noticing?
Does she know? Have you had that conversation?
Yeah, because I'll catch her using my stuff and I'm like, oh no, bitch. That was $158. You better take your ass back to the hippie store and get your colloidal oatmeal or whatever you do. That's mine.
Oh my God.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
You wrote about this in We Are Never Meeting, and you kind of just touched on this, but about like growing up poor.
Yeah.
And then feeling like you kind of don't know how to spend money responsibly.
No, I don't.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
I don't. So like when you grow up poor, I mean, being a teenage girl, I'm so glad. Oh, hold on. I'm going to fix this. Sorry. I'm so glad that I did not grow up in this age now when like you have to have phones and computers because we didn't have even like a house phone when I was growing up. And so like when, but even then, like I would babysit and get money and like it was never like, oh man, I should help my mom with the groceries. It was like, I want to get that brown Revlon lipstick that everyone was wearing in 1995. Yes. And so now like I still do that, but on like a different level. Like I do make sure like the car note is paid and all that stuff, but I still am like, how much do I have left over? How can I justify this Pat McGrath lipstick? And I do. I find a way. I always find a way. I'm like, wanting it is enough.
Yeah.
Wanting it is enough of a reason. I always like think like, oh man, I should learn how to budget and I should like put have a savings account. But then there are just so many things that I want. And I feel like a lot of my problems could be solved if they stop inventing new things, especially new like makeup formulas and lipsticks. I need every like oil lipsticks are the thing now.
Oh, I've
and
not
I'm like,
tried that.
Why do I not have every brand of oil lipstick?
It's so hard when you want all the things.
Yes. I don't even use them.
No, I know that I exist in that space sometimes.
I have a box at home full of lipsticks that I would wear if I had somewhere to go, but I don't have anywhere to go. And now that I'm here, like I have a workplace that I have to go to every day where we write the show. I don't wear lipstick there.
No.
I just show up. I put a little blush on so it looks like I'm awake and that I have good circulation, which I don't, but like the blush fools them. And then like, I don't wear any of it, but I feel, and I like can look at my things and be like, you know, this is a savings account right here. But if it were sitting in the bank, I wouldn't feel as good as I do like looking at them. I just like to have them.
Can
it's
I
a sickness.
It's my, or it's a good quality. I'm trying to turn that around. Maybe it is just a sickness and that's just what it is.
We're all sick. It's okay.
Well, that is my next question because you've written a lot about anxiety, depression, Klonopin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious what your experience, because Dory and I both talk a lot on here about our anxiety and depression issues and OCD and everything else. How has your relationship with your anxiety changed as you've gotten older? Or has it changed? Like, do you feel more understanding of it, at home with it, or is it still something you kind of face on a daily basis?
I feel like it's gotten worse as I've gotten older. I was just thinking earlier about, and this is like sort of a fat specific kind of thing, but I was thinking like, when is the last time I really like enjoyed food with abandon in public? And that made me think like how as I've gotten older, I'm more and more aware of like people looking at me, which they're not, you know, but I'm like, that's my anxiety, like sort of manifesting itself is like feeling more and more like everyone is paying attention to things that I do. And maybe that's just a function of like having this career that's sort of blossoming
and becoming
like,
more public.
Yeah. And being like, oh, people are looking at me. But I know now, I think one thing that I've gotten better at is understanding when something is just my anxiety versus a problem in the world that is actually happening to me. Like I get into these spaces sometimes where like, if too many people have like spoken to me in a day, I'll just be like, why is everyone demanding things of me? Why do people need so many things from me? And it's really just like, I just have had a lot of interactions and that's my anxiety being like, everyone wants something from you
right.
and you can't deliver and you're not in a good mood because you're a bad person. Ugh, so and hard. Normal people can like have good interactions with people all day long. So I've gotten better at being like, I'm not a target. I just like I'm having a hard time like managing the anxiety of like, because I have a thing where, and when you make something that people, I mean, you guys have got to feel this, when you make something that people are going to consume in whatever way, I have that pressure of needing it to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need it to be the best thing you've ever read, but I need it to be the best thing I could make.
Totally.
And then like having my books out in the world is weird because I'm like, I during the tour, I would like read the pieces to like, you know, these bookstore crowds and be like, man, you know, it would be great is if I could have fixed this before it went to print. But like, of course, it was edited and edited again and edited a third time. But in my brain, I never stopped being like, this isn't good enough. And so like, I'm getting better at recognizing that this is just my anxiety causing the problem. And that like, I mean, I don't know that my brain is ever going to be the kind of brain that's like, you did a good thing. That's still good. The thing you made a year ago is good. The thing you made now is good. You're fine. I'm never going to have that kind of brain. But if I can like recognize that that's my brain telling me that rather than like mm-hmm. it's a thing I haven't done, I feel like I'm getting better. But I don't know. Anxiety. So I'm working on another book. Because, you know, the agent was like,
he needs his condo.
He needs his condo.
He's like, bitch, I need a car too. So I'm writing a piece now. And I think this is what it's going to be called when it comes out. But it's called Hello 911. And it's basically like, if there were some sort of anxiety police I could call every time I had a moment. And it's things like, you know, hello, 911, my friend Keely just left me a voicemail.
Yes.
You know, like the things that like get my hackles up. Mm-hmm. Or one of the things, I was in a parking lot and so this person pulled their car. Like, it was in the space, but it was a little too, it was close enough to my car that I was like, if I get out, I'm going to ding his door. So I just have to sit here till he gets out. He just sat there and like pulled out his phone.
Oh God. Oh God.
And then I was like, I'm trapped. It was a full parking lot. So I couldn't move to another space. And so now I'm like playing an imaginary game of chicken with this guy who probably doesn't care. And he probably wouldn't care if my door touched his door. So it's things like that, that like get me wound up inside mm-hmm. and then being like, I mean, I don't know how to fix it, but I just like can acknowledge that it's happening.
It's like self-awareness, I think. Yeah.
How does it manifest in your marriage?
We are very different, and I have like one of my things is like I just need to be if I could sit in a cold, dark room by myself for at least 3 hours a day, I feel like I would. That would make me happy. Like that's where I feel good. And it's hard to be like that and also be a good partner to someone mm-hmm. or to be like, you know, it's just like, hey, do you need anything? And I'm like, don't talk to me. I need silence for 2 hours. So that has been, it's hard to be like, it really is not you.
Yeah.
It's me. So we're still like navigating that. But I just decided that instead of working at home on this next book, where I'm a monster who needs to be in a quiet room, I'm going to get an office so that I can like at least take the anxiety around writing, because I write best from an anxious like place. Mm-hmm. And so I do get kind of worked up when I'm writing, and then she'll be like, do you need another Diet Coke? And I'll be like, brah, don't talk to me. So I think in that way, it was like, I had to acknowledge, like, it's not you. You are a nice wife.
Right.
Look at you trying to bring me waters. All she does is nice things for me, and I find ways to twist them and be like, this bitch. But so instead of doing that, I'm like going to get an office and not do that kind of stuff. I also should maybe go to therapy, but I am afraid that my writing will suffer.
Okay, so you've never gone to therapy.
I went to therapy when I was in, I went to college for 1 year.
Right.
That year I had like, my dad died, and I wasn't sad about that, but I had, I knew it was coming, but I had like a weird adjustment to being in school. And so I started therapy and was like, oh, by the way, my dad died, but also it's hard being here. And so I went to therapy for a year then. And I have done therapy sporadically since, but I am afraid to really do it because, well, two things. One, I'm afraid that like, I mean, I know it doesn't fix you, but I'm afraid that like, if I get fixed, the writing will suffer.
Wow.
But I'm probably more afraid that the therapist will be like, you shouldn't write about this. Or like, it's counterproductive to your progress if you make fun of this in your work. And I don't know how not to make fun mm-hmm. of it. But also, I'm like, listen, I can't open the Pandora's box of my depression in my work and not do anything about it. I feel like that is not fair to people who like read my stuff to be like, you know, I talked about being anxious, but then I didn't do anything about it. So I have done some like kind of woo-woo approaches. I've done some meditating, yes, which I'm not good at. I also have incorporated some psychic readings.
Oh my God. Into I love my life. Psychics.
I went to this woman in Santa Monica that was great. Great.
I'm just going to say I'm getting the name great later, if you was, don't mind.
No, of course not. She was great. She saw things that, I mean, maybe I'm stupid. I definitely am. But like, I believed it. She was saying things and seeing things that I did not tell her. She also like gave me strategies. She was giving me like, she was like, you know, your wife wants you to communicate like this, and I know that that's not how you communicate, but here's a way you can say things that, and she'll receive it the way she wants, and you can say it without feeling like you're not being true to yourself. She was giving me all sorts of things, and I was like, I didn't even know psychics like could help you. I was telling her that I was gonna go away for a week to work on my book. And she was like, you know, I don't really see you getting a lot done that week.
Wow.
You should try to do more while you're still in LA. And she's like, just take that week and use it for vacation. And then when you go home, you're going to do your writing there. And I was like, you know, I don't like writing there. And she's like, you need to get an office and write at home. That's where the ideas are going to come. And I was like, Okay, Sandy.
Whatever you say, woman in Santa Monica.
Yeah, she was great.
It's interesting how we trust these big life decisions to these, like, to a random person who's could. I believe in psychics.
Yeah.
But the skeptics in my life are like, nah, like, you're being fooled. And I'm like, well, I'm going to trust this woman who I Googled and had good Yelp reviews to tell me what to do with my life.
I've never, like, quit a job.
Fair.
Because of something a psychic said, but everything, but I would do everything else. There, it's real.
I think it's real. Dory, it's real. Have you seen a psychic?
I've never seen a psychic. I did go to your astrologer once.
Love me some astrology. Mm. You want to get on that before you leave.
Uh-huh.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Yes.
This woman's good.
Yes, yeah. I do.
She's amazing.
I do. I want to go to her. I'm into all that. And there, part of it is like, you know, I can make fun of it, but part of it is also like, girl, if you have some insight into something that's going to happen to me, I want it.
Yeah.
I want to know. I don't feel like I am the best decision maker. So like, why not leave it to
Sandy?
Sandy.
Why not leave it to Sandy? She was, she was really great. Really great.
I bet you would like therapy. I don't think it would like take the good stories out of you.
You don't?
I don't.
I'm
did it.
I'm so nervous about it.
You know, when I was writing my book, I went back to therapy because my book was all about my dead mom and I was like losing my mind. And then the whole time I just talked about like body image. And it was, I thought I was going and I was like, I need to be here. It's mom. And then I just didn't even, it was just weird that it didn't, I mean, sure, it was all related to my dead mom, but I bet it would be like just a space for you to get your things out. And then you might
they're like cool therapists who will, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But who aren't going to try to like fix you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe I need fixing too.
Or
that's
don't.
What candles are for.
Yes. Now, see, if somebody would start like the church of impulse purchases, I would be healed up immediately.
I have one final question for you, which is, what is your favorite Diptyque candle scent?
The Santal. Is the sandalwood. That is my favorite.
I love a Santal.
I don't know if I've ever had a Diptyque candle, but I like how when they're all burnt, people use them as jars for things.
Yes. It's because they're so overpriced.
Right. You're like,
that you feel like you have to get a second use out of it.
Expensive candles are. crazy, but also delightful.
Yes.
Right? Like,
it's a real sham, but it feels good. Jo Malone mm-hmm. candles also so good and so unnecessary. I think that's why, like, I never ever thought about having kids, is because I'm like, you know, I don't know that I would ever have the kind of life where I could afford to feed a child and also buy Jo Malone. No, products.
You've got
to
make a choice.
Yeah, and so I picked the perfumes.
Fine with that. You know, as a person with kids, I say maybe you made the right choice, Samantha.
This was such a joy.
Yeah, thank you for taking time out while you're here to come do that. And time while your wife is here, we really are so grateful.
This was the best.
Thank you.
Also, like, you know, you guys are amazing. I would hit someone with a car to come here and do this. Well, I might have.
I hope you didn't do that.
I did run over.
I did see an accident on the 101.
Coyote would be funny. Where can people find you?
On Instagram at Bitches Gotta Eat. That's public. And then I have a Twitter, which is Word Science, but I never tweet because I don't want to ever like engage with any. I feel like Twitter is a toilet full of trolls.
Totally.
And I don't want to do that. But I'm good at Instagram. I'm pretty funny at Instagram.
Very good.
And then my website.
Sorry. No, it was the best.
And then all my I always tell people if they're like, which book of yours should I read? And I'm like, you know what? I have a blog that's free. If you like that, then go buy a book. And my blog is at bitchesgottaeat.com.
Samantha Irby, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. You are the best.
You are. Samantha Irby was definitely one of our most requested guests.
Dude.
And I would like to request that she come back.
She is so hilarious.
She's the best.
And so wonderful.
Yes.
And I learned so much.
I did. I did too.
I'm like now candle fiending.
Mm-hmm. Kate, your intention last week was to watch more television.
Yep.
How did that go?
I didn't watch much TV, but that was because I had been binging so much Handmaid's Tale. I was starting to have nightmares and I had to take a break. I'm about to get back into it tonight.
Okay.
But I felt so good about myself that I was able to like participate in a conversation with. Then I also went around asking every person I know if they watch Handmaid's Tale just so I could like engage in a social conversation. But I feel like I'm kind of putting a list together of shows that I really want to watch.
Oh, good.
I'm going to check out Claws. I need to watch Killing Eve. My husband keeps yelling at me to watch that. And then there's stuff like, I haven't even started Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many shows. I need to catch up on Insecure. I've got a lot of work to do in my show watching area.
I just don't want you to start thinking about it as work.
Not work, but I'm more carving out time for me to relax and watch TV.
Okay, there we go.
That's what it is. Like, finish up my nighttime chores.
Yeah.
So that I get off my phone. Because I think what I'm doing is I'll sit and look at rescue dogs on Instagram for 45 minutes when I could be watching a TV show.
I am trying to not look at my phone when I watch TV.
Which is hard.
Very hard.
But then you actually understand what's going on.
Yeah. Sometimes I actually find it better in terms of concentration to watch it on my laptop.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll try that.
Yeah.
How is your podcast hunting going?
It's going okay. I listened to a couple episodes of a podcast that I don't want to name because I didn't end up loving it.
Is it called Forever 35?
And it's called Forever 35. So we need to talk. I did give a new podcast a try. And I went back and listened to some of my old, you know, I caught up on some that I love, like Death, Sex, and Money and Reply All and, you know, just kind of my old standbys. So I'm still going to be exploring new podcasts. I think I mentioned this last week. I can't remember, but I would like to listen to some more conversational podcasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I did talk about this.
And not just
narrative.
Yeah.
Not just like journalism, not like very produced journalism podcasts, which I love. Those are kind of like the ones I go to. But I feel like also because we have a conversational podcast.
Right. You want
to
hear?
I would like to hear others. So I will continue to seek those out.
Can I tell you, I started two new podcasts this week.
Gosh, what did you start?
Well, one is conversational, but it's a fish-related podcast, okay. which I don't think you're going to want to check out. It's called Under the Scales. And then I also...
Good name.
It's a great name. It's one of Fish Lyricist is the host. It's really interesting. But then I also started, and it's a narrative podcast about a cult.
Which one?
It's called The Gateway.
Okay.
Have you listened to that yet?
No. I tried listening. I tried Heaven's Gate. Didn't love it.
Okay. Well, try The Gateway.
All right.
See if that, I know you're branching out from that arena, but I mean, who doesn't love a cult podcast?
I love a cult podcast.
So this week, your intention.
Yes.
Is something you've already done.
My intention is to go to the gym.
You've accomplished it.
I have accomplished it, but you know, I'd like to accomplish it more.
Are you setting like set goals for how many times you want to go? Okay.
Nope.
Just get to the gym.
Just get to the gym. Just kind of get to know the gym. Go swimming. You know, I have my embryo transfer next week, so I'd like to kind of explore very low impact things that I can do in the 2 weeks after the transfer.
Is swimming something you can do?
I think you can do like very low impact swimming.
Just floating?
I will ask. Actually, you might not be able to. I hope you can. I feel like there's also like conflicting reports about what you can and cannot do. Like some doctors are like, don't move. And then others are like, resume normal activity. So,
and ultimately it's your decision and how you want to proceed.
So I'm going to kind of check that stuff out. And you want to wake up early. I feel like you already wake up early.
Dory, I have been feeling really down on myself because I don't read that much. And I was reading a ton when I was on vacation, and then I got back into my regular life, and it's two things. One, it's my phone addiction, and two, the time that I carve out to read is like the 10 minutes before I go to sleep, and that's not very productive. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, you know, like I don't leave enough time, so then I'm like, well, I have like 5 minutes. I'll just read a couple pages. So then I had this vision. And the vision was this: I wake up early when my kids are still asleep and I use that time to read.
Okay.
I have coffee.
I'm on board.
I can even sit outside because it's really warm out right now and just read.
That sounds
and not
great.
Use that hour to check my phone. It all comes back to this fucking phone. Anyway, so I thought maybe if I wake, my kids normally wake up around 7. Okay. If I was waking up even at 6:30, which is normally kind of when I do get up a lot of times, but if I was getting up with the intention of leaning over and grabbing my book, even for just 10 or 15 minutes, I would start to be able to finish books. Because I love reading so much, and I just feel like that's something that I've really let go.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me sad. I love reading. There's so many books I want to read. We have so many amazing authors on the podcast, and I want to read all of their books. Yep. And so I'm going to experiment with that. Of course, today I did not wake up early.
That's fine.
But
you've had a hectic week.
Yeah, I figure once I kind of catch up on rest, it might be something that I can do. But just shifting that thing in my brain of like, when's my reading time? Oh no, it's not before bed. It's right when I wake up. Like, what if that's my new reading time?
I sometimes read in the morning.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I got to figure this out. So anyway, so that's what I'm going to play with.
Like if I wake up early and I don't want to get out of bed.
Right.
I'll just read.
So that's what I do is I just circle between Facebook, Instagram, and then
But that's why you can't keep your phone in your room.
Oh, fucking fuck. Okay.
That's what it comes down to because I wake up and I'm like, it's kind of like sometimes I've just been waking up early, like for no reason. And I'm like, I don't like, it's too early for me to get up and start my day. And I'm like reading this good book. So I'm just going to lean over, pick up my Kindle and start reading.
Get that pole dark.
Get that pole dark going. And my phone is not in my room. So for me to look at my phone, I would have to physically get up.
Question. My hand is raised. When your partner is out of town,
yes.
Do you sleep with your phone in your room?
No.
What?
I know.
Okay.
Actually, that is not true. I have occasionally plugged my phone in on the dresser across from my bed.
Okay.
Never on my nightstand.
So I have a traveling for work spouse right now. And I like my phone like next to me.
can you put it like somewhere in that's still in the room where like if it rang, you would hear it?
Yes. Actually, I have an idea. I'm going to put it on his bedside table.
Perfect.
Okay. Okay.
Because then it's not right there.
Yes. Then I don't roll over and see it.
Exactly.
See the alerts that are waiting for me. Okay. All right, Dory. Well, you solved my problem.
Great. That's what I'm here for.
Listeners, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, we love you.
We really do.
And you can call us and leave us a voicemail, and we might play it on a mini episode. It's 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. You can send us love notes, hate notes, comments, questions.
You know what? No hate. I can't do hate notes.
Okay, no hate notes.
I mean, I can make them nice. I'm such a fragile soul.
Yeah, no, I am too.
But I don't want to say no constructive feedback. This is going to a place it doesn't need to go.
You can also join our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. We have approximately 5 million spinoffs now, which I'm obsessed with. Reminder that all the products we mentioned are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast, on Twitter at forever35pod. And for those of you who have left us reviews on Apple Podcasts, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
And the rest of you, we would love a rating or review.
Do it up.
Do it up. And also feel free to mention us on the social media outlet of your choice.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Tell the world.
On that note, Dory, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dory Shafrir, and produced and edited by the one, the only, Sammy Junio.
Sammy.
Sammy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.